AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high-quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear-headed, full of energy, and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop, once a day, before breakfast, and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee, because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. It's the fighting.
Cock! Come on, Chutney!
It's episode C. That's the worst one. I didn't even get any numbers out. It's episode. Fuck. It's episode 3, season 12 of the Fighting God podcast. Today I'm joined by John Bass and Felonious Filth. How you doing, boys?
Very well, thanks.
Yeah, you enjoying the heat? Nice bit of heat.
It's only going to get worse, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm deciding that I like the heat, and I'm just going to enjoy it. And everyone should just sort of stop fucking every 2 minutes, like news stories about it. I don't care. It's a little bit of heat.
Hello. Let them die.
Okay, John, you're on the podcast. Fuck me.
Who's you're on the them in this scenario?
I don't know.
Just vulnerable speaking. People.
Anyone who doesn't like the heat, anyone who's affected by the heat, just let them all just fucking die.
Let the body stack up.
Felonious Filth does not give a shit.
Savage.
Speaking of which, John, you posted something, you tweeted something the other day. Mm. And it was, you quote tweeted a video from No Context Brits. And this, you tweeted me, said, at Flav, every time he introduces me on Love the Shirt, and this, you boys won't be able to hear this, but this is what he's referring to.
One of the fattest families in my life. I'm here in the Peak District and about to meet two right massive fatty siblings who are at the peak of their porkiness. I'm going to be meeting some right beach blubber bellies. I'm in Luton, Bedfordshire, and about to meet three right jelly belly jumbos.
Right, so I was a bit concerned by this because this is a gentleman. I don't know what this is from. Some sort of presumably show on Channel 5 or ITV where he works with people who are overweight. I have never, in the history of the Fighting Cock, ever said anything negative about your weight ever, John.
It's true. I'd say so, it was more I'd say it was more the spirit.
Why have you put it out there on the public?
Because I'll tell you why. So I'm the same as you. I sort of vaguely recollect that guy's face, and I think this show was like a sort of 10 o'clock Channel 4, like Britain's Fattest People or like Fighting Fat Club or something like that, right? But you can see how much the world has changed in a short space of time. That's not that old, that clip. And it's now it's like you would never talk to people that way, rightly so, right? Because it's just super offensive. So it's not so much exactly what he's saying. It's just the tone of the first thing to like describe the people he's going to meet is based purely on their size, mass, and dietary requirements, right? And that is very much the way you tend to introduce me, which is John Bass, the man with a body the size of a planet. John Bass, a gargantuan human.
The Goliath.
John Bass, a Goliath.
That's someone's got to clip all that up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I don't. No one's got the time for that. But that, John, that, you, that's a good thing. As a man, you want to be a man mountain. The women love it. Yeah, men love it. You've got a whole category in the porn. Well, probably in the porn industry, but also in the in you know the LGBTQ plus.
Yeah.
That you've got a whole category. So what are you moaning about? You're every woman's dream and some men's. So stop it.
I'm not playing a victim. I'm not playing the victim. I'm not moaning. I'm just merely highlighting how funny it was that it really did just remind me of our sort of interactions on a weekly basis. So I'd just put it out there to the world for people to enjoy. And as T said, the dream scenario is someone goes back through the catalogue and cuts together a fighting cock version with you doing introductions to, you know, my size. But yeah, I love being a big cuddly man. It's nothing
yeah,
wrong with
such
it.
A
it's
massive, great. Massive Goliath of a hairy man.
Juggernaut.
John's so hairy. John's body hair weighs as much as I do, which is fair. Apologies, John, if it took you aback. I won't do it.
No.
Just trying to make people laugh at your expense. We got to get on with it. John. All right. Well, I'm giving you a chance to reply. Well, let's just get on with it, shall we? Bloody hell. Fucking hell. lots coming up this week. We have a wonderful win against Southampton. What will that mean for the season? How far can Tottenham go? Can we win the league? How important is that game against Chelsea next week? The glorious Decky. Why Emerson continues to divide opinion. We'll be answering loads of your questions as well. But before all of that, you know it. Everybody knows it now. NordVPN Read. Here it comes. Actually, do you know, we usually start with a smut, but we're not going to do that this week. We're going to start with some Spurs stuff. All right, because you know that Tottenham Hotspur are in the Champions League, boys. Do you know that? You're aware of that? Tottenham Hotspur, they're playing in the Champions League this season. And one of the most frustrating things for a fan who's going to watch Spurs play abroad is the cost of hotels and flights. With NordVPN, you can set your position to different countries and get cheaper prices. I had no idea about this. Other countries, you have different prices based on where you are geographically. So you pay more in England merely for being in England. You can use NordVPN to trick these airlines into thinking that you're in a different country and therefore you pay less, not just for flights, but for hotels as well. So what could cost you 600 to 700 quid to fly to Madrid when we end up going to the Bernabeu and then smashing them up? But you don't have to pay 700 quid to do it. You can use NordVPN to pay cheaper prices. All of this is legal. None of this is illegal. So that's not a bad thing, is it? And people are still going to holidays as well.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I wish I'd done that before knowing where your wedding's going to be, John, because it would have saved me fucking loads of money. You know how fucking expensive this bloody thing's costing?
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm
happy
right.
to be invited. I'm just saying it's been pricey.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's pricey for you as a guest. I mean, it's going to cost me a little bit, mate.
It was your idea, mate. No one forced you to do it. It was your idea.
It was. But think about it, right? You're just offsetting it. When you use, you know, your NordVPN, you're just offsetting a bit of your cost for that, so it's fine. Now you can use that. Think about all the extra shit you can book when you're out there. That'll be cheaper because you'll be abroad.
I'm so surprised that it's like it's this situation where you can, like, depending on where you are in the world, you pay different. I mean, it makes sense because there's, you know, what people earn are different elsewhere, but you know, you can take advantage of it basically. The thing about this is that anyone who's known who's travelled with Spurs is. You get bent over the barrel when you're travelling. They know what's happening. They know Spurs are going to the Camp Nou, or they might be going to Munich or wherever it is, and the prices get hyped up for all football fans. And if you're not going to the Champions League, then you use it for to save money on you know, wherever you are going to be travelling for your holidays before the end of the holiday season. Anyway, let's get onto the spicy bit of NordVPN, the bit that I like the most. If I say to you, boys, quick answer, live Jasmine, what are you saying? What does that mean to you?
Or do I like it, or do I know what it is?
What is it?
It's a pop-up. It's a pop-up. When I go to certain places on the internet, it's a pop-up. That's all I know about it.
Let's say the best thing in the world, right, is when you go down the pub with your mates later, on the weekend, just out of the blue, just go to your mate, live Jasmine, yeah?
how do they react to that? Because you've caught them on the back foot, right? You've caught them on the back foot. How they react is fascinating. So most go, what? Huh? What? Hmm? I don't know what that is. But what NordVPN does is it stops all those dirty pop-ups from happening. Like hot mums in your area. Are you sick of wanking off to pornography? Well, why don't you go and visit one of the hot mums in your area? You won't get that pop-up either. There are no hot mums, by the way.
I mean, the thing is, it's like, depends on where you are. So, you know, if I'm in a certain spot, I say, yeah, hot mums in Yedding. I said, I've been to Yedding, mate. No. No.
And there's certainly loads of hot mums waiting for you to just stop wanking at 2 a.m. in the morning to chat to them.
I don't know. Maybe it's not like we're thinking about it in a sexual way. Maybe it's a temperature-based pop-up where they are overheating and they need help. Right, and actually, it's hot mums.
Literally hot mums.
Like, you know, like a dog that's been stuck in a car on a summer's day and it's the only the right thing to do is to let it out. This is a pop-up. Like, basically, they all sign up to this thing going, are you a hot mum? Like, fucking yeah, I'm boiling at the minute, dude. And then and it pops up. They know you're awake because you're out there wanking. They think, right, they come round thinking they're going to get some.
I like the... Then,
yeah, you open the door and they're like, oh, thank fuck, I was boiling in there.
I like the idea that these hot mums are out there and they're really hot, and that's the only reason why. And they somehow think that they're trapped in these cars, these hot mums, or in their rooms. And the way to save these hot mums is by adverts on X-Hamster.
Yeah, they know where all the strong horny men are who are definitely going to come round and open their door, right? Which is all they need doing. They just need someone to come in, open the door. So it makes sense. So we've been looking at it wrong all these years.
I mean, a mate of mine told me the other day that he'd completed X-Hamster. And what this mate...
I'm about to quiz him on that.
Yeah, what this mate said was that he used NordVPN... Very good mate of mine. He used NordVPN to access X-Hamster in another country, and apparently he hadn't completed X-Hamster. There's tons of X-Hamsters out there, depending on what country you are. Jeez. Fill your boots. You basically cannot complete it. Anyway, NordVPN is the fastest VPN out there. It protects you from all kinds of viruses and security breaks, and it's costs the price of a coffee. And as we said, you can use it to save you money. NordVPN will give you all these features and save you money. It depends how you use it. Anyway, grab an exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/thefightingcock to get a huge discount on your NordVPN plan. One additional month for free, and it's completely risk-free because you can cancel it any time. 30-day money-back guarantee. So, boys, Spurs played a game of football at home this week. I'm not sure if you noticed, but we went there and pushed Southampton's guts right in. What was your immediate reaction after the game? What did you feel about it? Apart from like an overall contentment, what was your take home from the game, T?
You know, sometimes when the boxer just has a huge knockout and they put a mic in his face, I'd have been like, bring on City, bring on Liverpool, bring on Madrid, bring on Munich.
Yeah.
But it was wonderful because we conceded the goal and the Spurs... Gallows humour gene kicks in, thinking, oh, fuck's sake, here we go. Yeah. They're going to get a second because I don't know what it was like at home, but I shat the bed every time Ward-Prowse got the ball anywhere near our area. I thought, he's going to fucking dink it in, isn't he? He's going to fucking dink it in.
There's an aura around James Ward-Prowse that is unlike any other. Like, he's good, but he's not like, it's sort of like when he gets the ball, when you're playing at Southampton, you're thinking, he's De Bruyne. It's like that level of skill. You're thinking, what? Yeah. How has this happened? Like, he scored a few free kicks and suddenly he's fucking Kevin De Bruyne. Is that right?
It feels that way. But no, there was lots to celebrate. You know, the start of a new season, there's been a lot said about the window, positive and negative. It's just nice to just see everyone out there. I mean, none of the new players started, but it's fucking wonderful and it just bodes well.
What do you make of that, John? The fact that none of the new players started, our bench comprised almost entirety of our summer acquisitions.
I think that's that actually shows what we were trying to do over the summer, which is it wasn't necessarily about strengthening the first 11. It was also about like creating a stronger squad. And I listened to the sort of five statements pod that you and Cal did after the game on Patreon. I think you both made a really good point around if you look at our bench for the last game of the season against Norwich versus our bench in this game, like the difference in quality, the options we were able to bring off the bench if we needed them, were like exceptional, and that's the difference, right? And I know we said it all summer about signings and players coming in, and I know we didn't have Richarlison available, but he probably, let's be honest, he probably would have been on the bench, right? So that would have mean that the entirety of all of our summer transfer windows wouldn't have started. And I think that can only be a positive thing when you get a really good result, because it just basically shows that they are going to have plenty of games, right? There's no way that Perisic is not going to start all season. He's going to be on the bench. Same with Bissouma. But they're going to get their chances. And I think it was good to just get some consistency. We've got like a little bit of, you've got to get these players bedded in, right? And I know we've had pre-season and we did those signings early, but they do need a little bit of time just to acclimatise to the league for some of those players that have come from kind of elsewhere. But yeah, mate, I'm really happy with that. And I think we've got a good squad as it stands anyway. So those signings are just a little sprinkle on top.
I didn't have any issue with the fact that we started the team we did. I had no issue at all. It didn't, you know, there have been times, and it happens through, every manager seems to do it. They'll get a new player through the door and they'll start on the bench, or even like we've said it a million times, but Lloris starting on the bench under Redknapp?
AVB, sorry.
And, you know, so I just get him in. Bradford was obviously shot to bits. Just get Lloris in and let's start this journey we're going to have together. And generally you're thinking, well, that player we brought in is going to prove our first team. Based on the performance for large parts of that game against Southampton, especially given the fact that this is the same Southampton team that beat us last year in February, actually, that I was super confident, even without having this incredibly deep bench, that we were gonna do it. And even when Ward-Prowse scored and it was a cracking goal and, you know, it's exactly everything he's about, I think that's a good question. Was you fearful, John? Was you fearful of what might happen after he scored that goal, or did you have faith in Conte?
Yeah, I had, like, I think sometimes these things happen. It's very easy sometimes in these games to just kind of, especially when you're at home, to think, oh, this will just be a walk in the park, we'll get a good result here because we've got a great manager, great players, all the rest of it. Sometimes things happen and you have to just deal with it. And that's really the mark of like good quality teams, is overcoming adversity. And like when you can see the goal kind of early in the game like that, and it will take you a little bit to kind of shake it off. But to be honest, after that, we were excellent. Like our recovery from that position was exactly what you wanted to see. They didn't look, oh, here we go again, kind of resigned. It was like, okay, fine, right, let's go again. Like we'll score enough goals here to be fine. And after that point, we really were just dominant for the whole, you know, rest of the game. So yeah, it was fine.
T, who was your man of the match?
It was difficult to look past Kulusevski, to be honest. It was just amazing. It's just, you know, obviously this is going to be said ad nauseum throughout the season, but I just can't believe we've got him. I think from the opening from the opening kickoff, he was just on it all game, rewarded with a goal, pulled a goal off, it was this amazing world outside the area. See the replay, just like from the edge of the box, just see they got it around the keeper. But mate, he was excellent, and it's nice to see the synergy he's got with Son and Kane, and that they're both happy for him to have the ball. Sometimes you almost feel that when Kane and Son gave the ball to a Lucas or a Bergwijn, they weren't sure they were going to get it back if any quality. But I feel with Kulusevski, they just let him do his thing, because there's going to be times when all try stuff that doesn't come off. But that's his first home goal as well. I had no idea he'd never scored at home before last Saturday. But it's got to be him.
I think that was his ninth goal for Spurs. So it means eight have come away from home. That's mental. Yeah. I think you might be right as well. Yeah. Wow. Mad. Well, I mean, and this is, we had a question here from Dan the man in the trash can. He says, how long does Deki have to continue this form to not only be the best youngster in the league, but the whole bloody world? I mean, John, if he continues this level of performance, like if it doesn't drop for him, like this is what he can deliver and no doubt will become better in the next year or two, then you are... If his level doesn't dip below where it is now, you are talking top-level European player.
100%. I mean, it gets mentioned on every podcast since we signed him about how young he is, and it still doesn't really sink into me, just because the way he's just come in and just been levels above so many like quality players, and especially players who are of a similar age who get accolades more than he does. I mean, I've seen a few people make the Foden thing, like they're really close in age, and Foden gets talked about like the future of like not just British football but like European football from an attacking point of view.
Yeah.
Kulusevski's numbers are way, way better than Foden's. Like, it's not even, it's not actually close at all. Like,
Foden's just been around for years, though, isn't he?
Exactly. He's got a reputation as, like, oh, he's a prodigy. He's going to do this and he's going to do that. It's a little bit like Saka as well now, right? He's, like, got a reputation as, like, he's going to be this. He's going to be that. Kulu is that right now. Like, he is that guy. And I think that there's a stat about since he signed for us in terms of goal involvements. Like, he's third on the list behind Son and Kane. So we have basically the top three since he signed for us. And it's like Salah and De Bruyne. So you're talking like top players in the bracket since he's joined Spurs that are doing stuff in the Premier League to the same level as him. Like, it's unbelievable. So yeah, mate, if he carries on like this, he'll be one of the best players in the best league in the world. That's what we have to say.
See, Son and Kane were relatively quiet by their own high standards. Which gave Kulusevski so much space, because it seemed to me that Southampton done a lot to try and put huge amounts of pressure on Kane when he had the ball. It seemed like they were kind of trying to negate the fact that he was trying to drop and spin and trying to play Son or Kulusevski in or another player who might be overlapping. But he wasn't being able to do that because they really did a number on Kane. They just didn't give him a chance. Every time that he tried to set himself, he had like three players around him. Son, similar, but to a lesser extent, he had a little bit more space. But it just gave Kulusevski freedom. And I just want to, I guess, I'm going to ask you, is this the best front three in the league? And if it's the best front three in the league, does that make it the best front three in Europe outside of PSG?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Or the world.
Or the world, yeah. If it's European, it's the world, isn't it?
It's probably...
It's up there.
I mean, I would definitely say it's up there. Not to talk about other teams too much, but I didn't see the Liverpool game, but just like Nunez did all right in his first game, so is it him, Diaz and Salah? Maybe they're the top three, but we're not far off from at all. We're definitely on that level. I'd say
very special. Did you any cause for concern at Son and Kane being quiet, John?
No. If anything, this is a positive for me, if I'm honest, because those two, they're always in the mix, and it does get to that point of, well, yeah, that's their job. So it's always a bit like reliant on them. I find a weird phrase, like, that's their job, is to score goals and create goals. But it is always nice, I think, when teams can score and they're essentially their best scorers aren't involved, because it just shows that you can, when you need to, other people can chip in. So I didn't think Son played that badly. I didn't think Kane played that badly. I think they were trying a little bit too hard. I think Son was, it was a couple of occasions he should have slipped Kane in. And then after that, Kane's in trying to get shots away. And that's just the nature of having two strikers that are at that level. Where
there was that moment where Son was carrying it across the box and he's just like, shoot. Why won't you shoot? I'd reacted much better than Son could in that moment, but it just felt like, just ping it, fucking hit it. And then Kane's sitting there and he's waiting. Kane wasn't in the best position to score in that instance either, because the keeper could have come across, it would have been difficult. And you can't ask, or you can ask Son to pass in that instance, but you can't blame him for wanting to take it on, because we've seen him do that so many times where he's just buried it from that position. He has the technique to do it. But there was that moment where Kane didn't receive the ball. Son was on the floor because he sort of fell over after he hit the ball. And Kane had a go at him. I think he might have thrown a few aspersions at him and Son. I won't go into the details. So. Yeah. What were you thinking? So, how Chingford did he go?
I don't know. I reckon he probably just... he punched toward him and went back in the tunnel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can lose it. But there's a couple of things I wanted to bring up, actually. One of which is because you talked about the subs and the depth, right? And they took off Sessegnon, who's probably one of our better players, for Perisic. Yep. I just thought, so Walker, he'd been run ragged by Sessegnon for that game. Then you bring on Perisic, who's just like trying shit out. It was just like,
we tweeted at the time, like, imagine being 4-1 up against in the Premier League and then bringing on Perisic, our first sub. our first sub, and it's Perisic. It's just and I just do. We want to talk about potentially what we could do this season, given this result, in a bit. But I just, like, it does feel like this is different to what it was before. And I know this gets aimed at us a lot. Like, oh, next season it'll be different. Next season it'll be different. But this is this season, and it feels different. We're not talking about next season. And I remember. Do you remember when? Some of the conversation back when Conte took over was like, this is his pre-season. Like, we're a quarter of the way through the actual season. But Conte was going to treat this like this is his pre-season, and next season is the one that counts. Now, the beautiful irony to that is that he got us to qualify for the Champions League from 11th, I think it was. And we're now in the Champions League, and no one expected it. But it doesn't change the fact that this is Conte's season, not that one that we just passed, because there was untold challenges. And we talked about how light the squad was against Norwich on the final day of the season, which we had to draw, I think, or win. I can't remember. That's a better Arsenal result, whatever it might be. And we kind of find ourselves now in a situation where we've swept aside Southampton, again, the team that beat us in February and played very well, came from behind twice. It's not a team lacking spirit. It wasn't one that was demolished by nine goal drubbings, or Housenhootle was all over the place, and it was the end, close to the end of his demise. This was a Southampton team that was playing well, and did play well against Conte's Tottenham. And now, given the fact he doesn't have the challenges he had then, and he could return to the squad to finish the game off, meant that we did. There was no point where this was any worry, other than maybe the couple of minutes around Ward-Prowse's goal. I haven't got a question. I've just said loads of stuff. John, say something.
I think...
I've got a T. With, go.
The thing with the Southampton goal was... I'm watching the game and I'm kind of a bit anxious because, you know, we're a goal down. But then I think someone actually near me mentioned that they've not really had a shot on goal, have they? Apart from that shot from Ward-Prowse. That we actually were on top. Sometimes it takes something to just jolt you back into reality, because... I watch the game in the context of being a Spurs fan. Like, I only care if we're winning. You know, if we're losing, I can't just say, yeah, but we're playing well. I'm like, fucking, why are we losing for? It just felt very irrational at that time. But we were all over. We were creating so much. And there were just so many good performances from all around the team. And I guess if Richarlison was on the bench and Kane and Son were underperforming, you could have brought him on. And how do you even deal with Richarlison? Because he's not like... He's very chaotic, and he's good, but he's very chaotic. How do you even, as defenders, how do you even fucking, you know, legislate for that?
T, we're going to get to a situation where that is going to happen. Richarlison will come on for an underperforming Son or Kane. Probably less so Kane, and almost certainly Son. Do you think that will pose problems? Do you think Son will throw a hissy fit if he gets taken off on 59 minutes for Richarlison, if he's playing like he did the other day?
I reckon he will, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I would struggle to think that Son would put himself before the team in what could possibly be a massive season under someone like Conte, who none of the players have seen his like. Obviously, Mourinho has that kind of gravitas, but Mourinho's sort of on the way down. But Conte is like very much one of the best managers in world football right now. And you can just see the difference in the team from when he's on now. So if Conte, subs him off early, I don't think he'll be too mad if you end up still winning.
Any thoughts on that, John Boy?
Yeah, you want players to be annoyed to be taken off. Like, I never understand that thing of like, oh, he's annoyed. Granted, don't do a Garley and like just fucking lose your shit at the disrespect the club. But like, it's okay if he's annoyed that he's coming off, because he's either annoyed at himself for not playing well enough, or he thinks that he was playing well, in which case the next time he plays, you best believe he's going to put in more effort to be like, I'm going to show you that you shouldn't have taken me off. And also, you know, to T's point, this is a huge season for us. Like, I really do think, like, Conte believes he wants to win the league. I think that's his aim. His aim is, I'm going to try and win the league this season. And so the players have to buy into that. And if that means, as a player, like, you're getting dragged after 65, 70 minutes if you're not playing well, that's it. Like, you just have to accept that, and you have to be ready for next week. So I think we're just in a different place now, where nobody's safe, essentially. And that's a good thing, because you want the squad and the team to be put in the right direction. It's not just about, you know, Son and Kane being our best players, therefore they're untouchable. Like, there were a lot of games last year when Son was not playing well and we didn't really have an option to replace him. We do now, and so it'll be interesting to see how he how Conte deploys him.
I've been scrambling around to try and find the tweet from Fabrizio Romano talking about the young left back from Udinese, who it looks like we're about to sign. I can't remember his name. Do you guys want to have a punt here?
All I know is that his name is Destiny. I forget what his surname is.
That's fine. Let's go with Destiny. And the great thing about this is not that we're signing this player called Destiny, who apparently was only behind Perisic in the amount of goals or chances created from his position in the league. But the fact that Conte wants to buy him and we're loaning him back to Udinese. That's the most exciting thing about this whole story, is the fact Conte is not looking to leave. He's looking to build for the future. Did anyone else pick it? Like, did you pick up on that, John, or is it? Am I just being hopeful? Maybe Conte's found his home, and he's ready.
I think with the whole Conte situation, I think you said like many times, contracts are meaningless anyway, right? Pep signs a rolling 1-year contract. Some managers sign a 4-year, and then they get sacked after 8 months. Like, the whole thing is, it's just an illusion of security anyway. So the only thing that you can like really know whether or not your manager's happy and going to stay is if your manager's happy and he stays. As simple as that.
Just create an environment where he is happy.
It's not like he has this. Yeah.
Well, it's not like he hasn't managed Juve, Inter Milan, the top two of the massive clubs in Europe. It's not like he's now seeking to go out and you know, find a club like Juve to manage. So a contract doesn't protect... If a manager wants to leave your football club, contract doesn't protect you.
No.
Because they are the figurehead. If they're not happy, then the squad won't be happy. The training won't be as efficient. The tactics and the passion on the sidelines won't be there. All the things that Conte relies on. So it doesn't matter if you have a contract with him or not. All you got to do is give him the foundations from which he can build. And if you do that, then perhaps he will be happy forever until we don't want him anymore. And then there's no contract to worry about. Maybe I'm being too idealistic. I'm not sure. T.
His surname is Udoji. I looked that one up. But he wasn't in the squad over the weekend, the Udinese squad. But it does look promising. Maybe... Perisic knows this is going to be a 1 year and done, but Perisic was at Bayern Munich for a year, I think. You get told wrong, and then he won the Champions League. So
he's got a 2-year contract.
Maybe he could do that for us.
Maybe two-year contract, though, so he's going to be here at least 2 years. Unless we sell him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or unless he plays in the front three.
It's so exciting. The fact we're actually talking about a squad that we're not having to plug holes and rely on Japhet Tanganga to play against Manchester City and have great game against Liverpool. Brilliant, Japhet Tanganga. But... You know, it's not what we want. We want quality. We want absolute quality forever and always. And that's the be on it. Did you see the tweet from Eric Dier? He scored the goal and he posted four pictures up and he went up to he tweeted Japhet Tanganga and said Japhet didn't believe him. I told him to put me in his FPL team and he didn't believe in me and then just posted those pictures. I just thought it was... On Eric Dier, we've got a question here. T, this is mostly aimed at you. I know you hate his guts. but can't fucking find it. But it's basically along the lines of Eric Dier is still not in the England squad. When will the slabhead be taken out so Eric Dier can take his rightful place in the England setup? I agree that he should be in the England setup. I don't want him to. I don't want him to go to the World Cup. I want him to stay. But Cal told me, you was having a private conversation where you're whispering at each other's ears so no one could hear you, but you think Eric Dier could be upgraded upon. I don't know if I should have said that, I'm not sure.
Okay, let me just the first point first about Maguire. Maguire actually plays very well for England. It's one of those ones where shite for his club, good for his country. So it is a conundrum because you pick players that are on form. So that's why Maguire starts for England. Also, it looks like England are starting to play with a flat back four, and I don't know if Eric Dier is that reliable in a two as he is in a three for us. So he should at least be in the squad, as you've said, but as for starting games, I think the Maguire and Stones partnership won't be broken up if both are fit and able to play. As for what Cal said, stand by what I said. If Eric Dier and Ben Davies are your undisputed first choices, you've got to ask questions. In the sense that they're both very, very good defenders, but first names in the team sheet, I don't know. But they're doing the job, and fair play to them. But I do kind of feel that they could be upgraded upon.
When there's images of them lifting the Premier League trophy, I'm going to do everything I can to spoil any kind of good feeling and celebration you have, based on what you've said. Just so you know.
Well, maybe this bit of audio will go viral, and then when I do win the league, you know, it'll be down to me.
That's the energy I've got for you right now, T. Emerson Royale is dividing opinion along with Eric Dier, apparently. So I thought he had a really good game, John. I thought he was good. Once again, just doing exactly what he was asked to do by Conte, is get in the position, run the line, be tidy, and do your best when you get into the final third. We know there's limitations. He set up a goal. Yeah, he got an assist to his name, I think, if I remember rightly. I'm pretty sure he did. What did you make of his performance? Did he have a good game? And should people lay off him a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone has. I've been critical of him in the past for his like attacking output, and I think a lot of people have said like, oh, he'd be good as a right back, or he'd be good in a more defensive side. You know, he can get up and down, but he's better defender than he is going forward. But the sort of second half of Conte's run last season, and a little bit of we've seen from him pre-season, including this game against Southampton, I thought he looked pretty good, like pretty decent. And I really do think that Conte obviously thinks there's something there, because there's an ample time to rotate him out, essentially.
Ample, I think, players as well there.
Yeah, we've got players. Rotating. I mean, put it this way, I got a message from one of my friends who's a United fan, and he was looking to put some Spurs players into his fantasy team. And so he was asking me about, do you think I should take Royale out for Spence? And I was like, well, I don't think Spence will play much at all this season, if I'm honest, because I think basically it's Royale and Doherty to fight it out. And at the moment, like, if Royale is playing at this level, which is pretty decent, I'm not saying it's like Dani Alves, peak Dani Alves years, but it's decent, then it's going to be hard for Doherty to get in, to get back in, let alone Spence.
You can't drop Emerson Royale off that performance. No. And certainly that comes off the back of the last three games of the season where, remember, everybody thinks about the game he played against Watford, where he had almost 40 opportunities to cross the ball and never found one of our players. But by the same token, he went to Anfield and got man of the match in a game we could not lose. So I understand if people are being selective in their memory, and I get it. And if you've made up your mind about a player, and I understand it, I've done it myself and I continue to do it. I have agendas against certain players, and it's difficult to let that agenda go. But until Royale has a super bad game, we just got to give him the benefit of the doubt, I think. Charlie G sent a question. Says, why is everyone mugging off Royale? He's been consistently improving and is so hungry to be a part of the team. He played very well yesterday too, and Conte clearly believes in him. Don't get it. That's a big part of it as well, his willingness to just be involved. He never made a stink. He continued in Spurs media, he continued to be positive despite the fact that Matt Doherty had become our first choice right wing back, and yet he was there. And the minute we needed him, not only did he just stand up, he made us better. So you can't, if you're chucking players, if you're ready to dismiss players for playing well and performing well and showing the right attitude, then I'm not sure what you actually want. What do you make of these situations, T?
Well, I actually had a conversation about it. I think it was either half time or after the game.
What, with Cal again?
And I said,
fucking,
no, not this time. Right. I managed to shake him off this time.
She called him Cal the Rash. He's always around.
So I said that I thought we all did all right. And
I don't mean that. Don't take that to heart. That was a joke. It's a fucking joke. Sorry, carry on.
And I kind of got jumped on a little bit for saying that he had a good game. The thing with Royale is that It's effort. It's 100% effort. It doesn't always come off. It's not always effective, but it's always willing to try. I do believe we probably will need someone of maybe a better end product, someone we know is going to get a few more assists, because the way the wing backs are set up, he should really be, you know, getting better numbers than he does. But he's going to be a fan favourite because of his, you know, unwavering commitment to the cause. He does everything that's asked of him. And, you know, I think for now the place is his, but maybe by the time the World Cup comes, it might be a different story again. But it's nice that we've got options.
Indeed. If it ain't shiny, I ain't interested. He says, is the yellow card on the jersey a warning to other teams about how many yellow cards we're going to get? Yeah, if we're not attacking the goal, we're attacking you. I love that. This is off the back of Romero's scissor challenge on... on
Romero,
yeah, sorry. And so that... the first part of this game, I was in a car, and I won't go into really... It's just boring, but I missed the first part. I was listening to it on the radio, and they were going, well, that's a yellow card. Like, it's dead cert a yellow card. I mean, this isn't even a conversation. And the ref goes, the ref hasn't given it. Like, I've watched it back three or four times, and it's, like, so much of a yellow card is unreal. I guess the question is, John, is it a problem that he can do something so mental? Is disrupting their play when they're attacking worth the yellow card or the risk of the yellow card? Or do we simply accept that this is what Romero is and we should never, ever change him? Where are you at on that?
I think we have to accept that there is some method to his madness. Like, he obviously gets booked quite a bit, but I think he was a couple of bookings away from a suspension the end of last year and then didn't get another booking. Like, I think he is clever enough to know there's a line. And yeah, sometimes he will be right at the line and the ref will basically book him or send him off. That will happen, right? Because when you play the way he does, that is going to happen at some point. Just law of averages. But I think actually he's pretty smart in what he does. I've noticed that he's like quite prepared to, for certain players, just smash them as early as possible. It's old school. Like, just let them know that they can't like take a touch. And some players, really, really good players, and we saw it, I think, last season, that are good enough to not have to take a touch and then lay it off. We'll just play one touch passes and try and go around in that way. And that might work, right? But it means that they're having to do much more difficult stuff than having a touch, hold it, back in, find a pass, take more time. And the more he does it, the more that becomes like in the awareness of players. And they start second-guessing it, thinking it's going to come. And then he doesn't go tight. They try to flick it and he's just there and intercepts it.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And he's just really... I think he's just really smart and really cute with it. I think we just have to embrace that at some point, he's going to snap someone and get sent off.
Hasn't that actually had a red card at Spurs yet?
No. Exactly. But it will happen. It will happen.
Did he?
Against Vitesse.
Oh, yeah.
What, straight red?
I think it's two yellows in 10 minutes.
Don't count then, does it?
Exactly.
It's true. Shit competition.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Creases are friendly, basically, isn't it?
Fuck the test, basically. Let's focus. But it isn't a bad thing that a player will receive the ball with a back to goal and know in their head, I'm about to get smashed by Romero at any moment. And if it comes, it's almost worse in their head. If it doesn't come, they'll be like, oh fuck. Yeah. It's like when someone says they're going to punch you in the face, but at some point during the day, but you don't know when you're going to get punched, your whole day's ruined. So therefore, your whole game's ruined. If you don't know when you're going to get smashed by Romero, that's worse than getting smashed in the first minute. How hyped are you about the performance, and does it change the way you feel about the season, T?
I wouldn't say I'm overly hyped. I just think I've been hurt so many times that I'm always a bit wary of... jumping on the hype train, but that game went about as well as it could possibly have gone. You know, obviously the night before Arsenal won, and they fans were crowing, and even some of the media were bigging up Arsenal. But I think that we've put a marker out there, not just for other teams, but for people within the squad, because as you said earlier on, the 16 new signings didn't take part yesterday, didn't start the game, and they'll have to see the level that they've got to fight towards. So training has got to be very, very intense. So definitely hard to definitely think top four is probably the minimum, but yeah, bring it on.
So we've got Chelsea, John Boy.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about the game? I mean, there's never a good time to play Chelsea, but if there was, is this it?
So I've seen a lot about Chelsea, and I don't know whether I've completely missed something or not, but I feel like there seems to be them getting slated quite a lot. And I appreciate they've had all these problems like off the field and stuff like that with their finances and all these other various different things like going wrong at Chelsea. But they still have very good players. They still have excellent players. And I get that some of those players don't want to be there and they've got 1 year on their deal and they're letting it run down and all the rest of it. We also have an awful record there. So I'm going into this going, okay, this is really, and I know it's the second game of the season, but this is really the first proper test of actually where we are, because they're still decent. We have a horrible record there. We really need to turn up. And I think this could really, like, I think it's a kind of a good time, because it's a bit of a win-win for us, right? If we go there and put a marker down, then it's like, okay, great. If it doesn't work out, obviously it's so early in the season, right? You can put it down to just still getting up to speed. But I do think we should really be trying to earmark this as like, this is a corner turner for this squad. And like, this could really propel us start the season.
I mean, if we win, then the narrative completely shifts.
Massively.
Because people like are saying, well, Southampton, you know, you expect to beat Southampton at home, although most teams won't beat Southampton the way that we have, as conclusively as we have at home. But if you go to Stamford Bridge and win, then it's a different thing altogether. Right now, if you had the opportunity and you took a 1-1, if we could guarantee a 1-1 draw, would you take it, T?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the important thing is just to get beat. I know it's a defeat, but
I don't think it's
going to the game just saying
sensible. It's not defeat. It's realizing that it's a long season and making sure we don't get beat is more pragmatic than defeatist.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most important thing, just to not get beat. Also, there's so many options so many options in terms of picking from the squad. It just feels an awful lot better than in the past, where I don't know, you could see a Harry Winks starting the game, for example, be like, oh, fuck off. I just think I'd be happy with almost anyone in that squad from Saturday.
We know that Matt Doherty isn't going to start as left wing back. That's what we know.
Oh, please. Fuck's sake.
And this is the thing, is that's the caveat that you have to add to those two games that we lost against Chelsea. We lost one in the cup, did we? No, did we have two legs in the cup?
Yeah, we lost four times.
We lost four times from last season. Three of which were, under Conte. But Matt Doherty as a left wing back isn't the answer. It's not. It's a stopgap. It's a plaster over a wound. It's not how you go out and beat one of the best teams in Europe. So let's see what happens with a squad, especially because it's early in the season, a squad that isn't in any way hampered by injury. Anyway, no significant injuries other than Skip. Basuma played part of the game, so you know that he's going to be match fit if we need him. So I can't say I'm looking forward to it, because I never look forward to these games, but I feel much more confident now than I would have done probably ever. Even, I know the last time we won the league was under Pochettino, Dele Alli scored two goals and it was amazing. But even that at the time felt like a surprise. If we win on Saturday, or Sunday rather, it won't, as great as it will be, I don't think any of us will be surprised by it. And that's a different ballpark to what Tottenham were in the last 20 years going to Stamford Bridge. Don't know.
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay, we've got some questions here. Ken Mertes, he says, a lot of noise about prices of pints at the local pubs. Wife and I are flying across the pond for the Fulham game. What is the Fighting Cock's recommendations for a pre-match pint? The stadium, number 8, Bricklayers, Bill Nick, what's the difference in atmosphere? I don't think there's much of a difference in atmospheres. I think probably the number 8 or what used to be the Bellinaire is probably the... They can't really divide them, really. Where would you recommend, boys? T, where would you recommend if you'd never been to Tottenham? Where would you go? What pub would you go to?
It's difficult to tell. I mean, you know, there are quite diverse pubs in Tottenham. Depends on what you're after. If you're not offended by seeing a few strippers, then you go to the Bill Nick. If you want to have poor quality lager, but it's near the stadium, you go to the number 8. If you happen to be a bit more hipster, you probably go Blue Coats, or I think it's a High Cross and Beaver Town next to the stadium. But also, there's decent options inside the stadium. But as Flav kind of alluded to, you're paying £6 a pint in the stadium and in most pubs around Tottenham. So, I don't know, yeah. Maybe people might start going to Liverpool Street or Wood Green or whatever.
Is that how much a pint is inside the stadium? £6?
Yeah, don't quote me on that, because it was a Beaver Town was all £6, and I believe the Amstel was over £6, but it might be another pint, some of that's below £6. But it's pretty pricey.
I live in Wiltshire in the middle of nowhere, and a pint of Madry is £5.50 out here. So I don't think this is restricted to the area of Tottenham, although football fans tend to get fleeced wherever they go. That's why you should get some NordVPN if you're travelling away in Europe. NordVPN.com/thefightingcock. Get your offer in. Save money when travelling to watch Spurs play. There you go. There you have it. There's lots of options. You can't go wrong, mate, especially if you're coming from the States and you've never experienced going to Spurs before. If you're in the stadium or in one of the... I think if you want a more authentic experience of what it's been like over the years, then go to one of the pubs around.
I'd probably say Bricklayers.
Do you know what? I'd probably say Bricklayers. It's by no means the best pub, and the beer is not great. But in terms of experiencing what it's... You don't go to football to drink good beer. You never have. You go football because you want to spit on away fans. And if you want to do that, then the Bricklayers is your answer, my friend. Okay, so Bua says, how do you think the transfer we got will work their way into the squad? Hard to imagine Perisic and the like staying on the bench for too long, John.
Yeah, as I said right at the top, I think makes sense at the beginning, keep some consistency. But as we start getting to a busy schedule, we start getting Champions League games.
Would you bring any of them in for the Chelsea game?
I might potentially bring in Perisic.
Well, Sessegnon was great. He
was great. But I think having someone...
Big game.
And experience. And basically saying to Sessegnon, you're coming on. Like, you're coming on at 60. And like then to say to Perisic, just fucking give me everything for 60 minutes. Because I'm pulling you off. pulling you off. Beautiful. I'm taking you off. And then I'll pull you off if you play well.
Then you can come in my mouth.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll swallow it. It depends how well you get on. If I'm going to take you off, and then you say to Sessegnon, like, look, you've just got to go and smash this up once you come on. I think you get the best of both worlds, and I think that'll happen like in reverse quite a lot this season, where basically they'll rotate those two. I wouldn't mind that, to be honest, but I also would be really happy for Sessegnon to start. I thought he was fantastic.
But you, T?
I think Perisic is probably the most likely to start of all of them. I don't see Højbjerg and Bentancur being broken up to accommodate Basuma just yet. So I say Perisic is most likely. But as for them getting involved in things, there's so many games. We've got a Champions League at the start of September. The League Cup would be September, I believe, at some point as well. So there'll be plenty of games. And someone like Conte, who's won so much in football, they've really got to listen to him and think, you know what, this club is success-starved. I'm one of the best managers in the world. This is how I believe I'm going to bring back success to this massive club and make their fans happy again. Just suck it up. And they all seem like fairly level-headed guys, the players that they've signed anyway. So I don't expect any of them to fully kick off.
No, not at all. I would, as soon as they're fully fit, I would put Basuma in for Højbjerg. That's the only direct replacement. Perisic for Sessegnon, I understand. Sessegnon, you got to... Now he's getting his confidence back, you want to nurture that, because he is the long-term solution for that role. But Perisic is so good, you don't want to deny that either. So sort of, like you said, you know, get him off on 60 minutes, suck him off, get Sessegnon back on the pitch. One final question from Houston Dynapod. They've got a podcast called Houston Dynamo Podcast.
How did you figure that one out?
Guess by the clues.
Oh, I didn't get the dynamo and pod. I was unsure about what if that meant podcast or not. I've only been there 11 years. I don't even know if it's even related to Tottenham. So just giving a shout out to Houston Dynapod. Houston Dynamo FC podcast. Banter, shithousery and dirty jokes. Sounds like us. So his question is, if you had to pick one member of the Fighting Cock to murder in exchange for Conte staying 10 years at Spurs, who would you pick? Why would you pick that person? And how would you murder them? I mean, we could murder Bardi because he's not... I mean, technically, he's extra inch, isn't he? So if we murder him, we're helping us and hurting them. Pickaxe through the skull.
I'd be a sniper on the roof and he'd be getting a Starbucks. And as soon as he leaves here, right through the skull.
It'd be much more personal for me up close with a knife. Or a brick. I'd batter Bardi with a brick.
Lost breath in your face.
What's that? Oh, Italy are good. No, not anymore. They're not. They can't be a dying breath, Bardi. Say something else. Oh, God. We gave you Conte. Yeah, you did. Thanks. Enjoy eternity.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing this, because we want to keep him. Say goodnight, Denise. Bosh.
All right, we're agreeing. Murder Bardi. Yeah, okay, this has been the Fighting Cock Podcast. Thank you so much, boys. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back next week after we've triumphed against Chelsea, no doubt. Remember, if you're any kind of a decent human being and you have run out of pornography, use NordVPN.com/TheFightingCock and access more.
Network. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.